Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7.
As you know, we are in the midst of a wonderful summer series, lectures, and we've had wonderful speakers, and we are so very honored to have a good friend of ours, and that's Brother Ken Tyler from the ARAP Church of Christ. He is a sound and great gospel preacher. He is a kind and gentle man, a man that some of you already know, and you know that's true about him, and he has been at the ARAP Church for 33 years, going into his 34th year, and they just love him over there, and he's doing a wonderful work, and we are so pleased to have him with us. His wife, Hannah, is with us tonight, sitting back here. They've been married 37 years, and they have two sons and one daughter, 34, 32, and 26, and one grandson, Kent, and he's 8 years old. So we're so glad to have them with us tonight, and we look forward to a great lesson. He's going to be talking about tonight what I want you to know about the cross of Christ. And so we look forward to his message.
I certainly want to express my appreciation for the honor to be back with you again this year in your summer series. This is a great congregation, and I love and appreciate all of you very much. I've known many of you for many years, and you continue to not only do a great work for the Lord, but you're going forward. You're making progress. And that's a hard thing to do in our society today. And I want you to know that your zeal, your enthusiasm, your excitement about the cause of Christ is greatly appreciated. Paul was with us for our family Bible school, and he taught 5 great lessons. I think I heard more about his lessons than any speaker we have ever had for our family Bible school in ARAB. He did a sensational job. Well, I just want to thank you for letting me be here tonight. I want to tell you how much I love and appreciate each one of you. And I want to say, and you know this, but we have a great theme before us this evening. This is a great lesson. This is a lesson that is going to bless every one of us. What I want you to know about the cross of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." This lesson is designed to cause us to appreciate Christ more and be drawn closer to Him. And that's what I want from all of us tonight. I want this lesson to cause our hearts to be filled with love and appreciation for Jesus Christ. I want us to be drawn closer to Him. I want us to leave here tonight with a greater determination to serve Him and to do great things for Him and to help other people learn and understand this great message of the cross of Christ. And so here's what I want you to know about the cross of Christ. Here's our first great point: the love of the cross of Christ. Paul put it this way in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is such a powerful point. When we were sinners, that's when Christ died for us. Look at His love. It's easy to do things for people that love you, that people that like you, people that do good to you. But look at what Jesus Christ did. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Look at the love of the cross of Christ. It is universal, and that's what we read from John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. There we are. You, me, the entire world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Monogenes, single of its kind. The only begotten Son of God. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see that the love of the cross of Christ is universal. God loves everyone. And He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for our sins. But when we think about it being universal, the love of the cross of Christ, we need to also think about it being individual. And I love Hebrews 2 and verse 9. It is one of the great passages of the New Testament. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Listen to this. That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What a statement. He tasted death for every man. When He went to the cross, He went there for you. He tasted death for you. Look at how individual the love of the cross of Christ is. When we see Jesus on the cross, we see Him there for each one of us. That ought to move us. That ought to touch us. That ought to cause us to appreciate more the love of the cross of Christ, how much Jesus loves us, and that He went there for you. He went there for me. That brings us to the second thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ. The sacrifice of the cross of Christ. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, the first phrase. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Look at the sacrifice of the cross of Christ. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Yes, Christ sacrificed Himself for our sins. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 9 for just a moment. Now, we all know verse 27 of Hebrews 9. We have heard it time and time again. But do we know what verses 26 and 28 say? I want to pick up with the last phrase of verse 26 as we are emphasizing the sacrifice of the cross of Christ. Listen carefully. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Look at that. What a statement. To put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Look at the sacrifice of the cross of Christ. Then verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him. And this describes you and me. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There are so many verses in the book of Hebrews that emphasize the sacrifice of the cross of Christ. Listen to these, first of all, also in chapter 9. Verse 14, offered Himself without spot to God. Verse 25, nor yet that He should offer Himself often. Then in chapter 10, listen to verse 10. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of chapter 10. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And then listen to verse 14 of Hebrews 10. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes, we see over and over again the sacrifice of the cross of Christ emphasized. Jesus sacrificed Himself for our sins. His life was the ransom price for sin. We all know the definition of the word ransom. The necessary price for captives to be set free. And that's what the devil does to us. He causes us to sin. He causes us to come under the bondage of sin. We are in captivity to Him. And the sacrifice of the cross of Christ was for the purpose of setting us free from sin. His life was the ransom price for sin. And Jesus emphasized this in Matthew 20 and verse 28 when He said of Himself, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Again, what a beautiful statement. As we look at the sacrifice of the cross of Christ. That brings us to the third thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ. The blood of the cross of Christ. We have these simple but beautiful words in Colossians 1 and verse 20, "Having made peace through the blood of His cross." I like that, don't you? Having made peace through the blood of His cross. We have redemption through the blood of Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And I want to take you back to Hebrews 9. Again, for just a moment, and listen carefully to verse 12. There's a word here that is connected with redemption that really gives it a significant meaning. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place," listen to this, "having obtained eternal redemption for us." Not just redemption, but eternal redemption for us. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are going to be able to live with Him eternally in heaven. He has obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen to this carefully. One way of defining redemption is that Christ rescued us from the devil and sin by paying the price. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Yes, look at the blood of the cross of Christ and love and appreciate Him with all of your heart and draw closer to Him. That brings us to the fourth thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ, the forgiveness of the cross of Christ. Let's go back again to 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 and read all of the verse. "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The precious blood of Christ removes our sins. We read in Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." What a marvelous statement. And we also read in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Well, how were we redeemed, Peter? But with the precious blood of Christ. Notice that. The precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We all must understand that we must obey His gospel to receive forgiveness through His blood. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ tonight, that's your greatest need. Please be touched and moved by the cross of Christ. Please recognize your sinfulness. Please recognize that He went to the cross so you can be saved. that He died for you and respond to His gospel tonight and be saved from sin. Here are the conditions. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." We don't want to do that. We don't want to die in our sins. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ. And we must recognize that this is an obedient faith. In Paul's famous sermon on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, he said in Acts 17 and verse 30 that all men everywhere are commanded to repent. We must repent of our sins. Everyone must repent of their sins. Then we are to confess our faith in Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we must be baptized into Christ, into His death, where Christ shed His blood to have our sins washed away. Paul asks in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Notice what he said. We're baptized into His death. That's where Christ shed His blood. Our sins are washed away, and we arise out of that watery grave of baptism, having been buried with Christ, to walk in newness of life. In Acts 22 and verse 16, when Saul reviewed his conversion, Paul the Gentile name, Saul the Jewish name, but when he reviewed his conversion, he tells us that Ananias came to him and asked him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Let's go back to Revelation 1 and verse 5 for just a moment. "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Blood washes away our sins. Acts 22:16, "Ananias to Paul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Baptism washes away our sins. What's the obvious conclusion? In baptism, we contact the blood and our sins are washed away. It's amazing how many people in our religious world do not recognize the importance of baptism. Teach you can be saved without baptism. You don't ever have to be baptized. And we even have those in the church today that are teaching that you do not have to be baptized in order to be saved. Just pray to the Lord and He will save you. That's not the gospel plan of the New Testament. That's not what the gospel of Christ teaches. We must believe in Him. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Him as the Son of God. And we must be baptized into Him, into His death, buried with Him. To contact His blood, our sins are washed away, and we arise out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. Look at the forgiveness of the cross of Christ. Jesus went to the cross so you and I can have this forgiveness, so we can obey the gospel, so we can be Christians, so we can have the privilege to serve Him and spend eternity with Him in heaven. That brings us to the fifth thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ. The reconciliation of the cross of Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to read these great words with me in verses 20 through 23. As we look at the reconciliation of the cross of Christ. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. There's the cross of Christ. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached. Paul said they'd carried out the Great Commission. This is one of the prison epistles written in about 62 A.D. And so from 33 A.D. to 62 A.D., the beginning of the church in Jerusalem in 33, now to Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, he could say that the gospel had been preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Reconciliation. It's so meaningful when we understand what it means to our lives. Sin separates us from God and causes us to be God's enemies. Reconciliation means that we come from the state of being an enemy to that of a friend. Notice how Paul put it in Romans 5 and verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of His Son. There's the cross of Christ again. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And here's another point that is extremely important. We must remember that reconciliation takes place in the church. Again, so many people believe that you can be saved outside of the church, that you can be saved without the church, that you don't ever have to be a member of the church. That's not possible. Because reconciliation takes place in the church. If you're not reconciled to God, you're lost. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And that He, Christ, might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God. Where? In one body. How? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, what is the one body? Go back to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians and look at verses 22 and 23. God hath put all things under His feet, under Christ's feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church is the body. The body is the church. Now back to Ephesians 2 and verse 16. Reconciliation takes place in one body, in one church, by the cross. You can't be saved outside the church. When a person obeys the gospel, we all know this, the Lord adds him to His church. On the day the church began, verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, those that were being saved. And so we see the reconciliation of the cross of Christ, and that reconciliation takes place in the church, in the one body. That brings us to the sixth thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ. The agony of the cross of Christ. I feel so inadequate to talk about the agony of the cross of Christ. There is not any way we can possibly comprehend the agony that Jesus Christ went through for our sins. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. We see this agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to turn with me to Luke 22 and read verses 41 through 44 with me carefully. We can see the agony that Jesus is experiencing as He contemplates going to the old rugged cross for our sins. As He contemplates Roman crucifixion, one of the most cruel forms of torture ever known to the human race. And so we read, and He was withdrawn from them. That's Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, those disciples that were the closest to Him. About a stone's cast. No certain distance, but just how far you could cast a stone. And kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." We know what He's asking. We see His humanity. He's asking to be delivered from the horribleness, from the agony of Roman crucifixion. We know He prayed this prayer three times, and each time He concluded by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And we all know that He set His will aside for us. We all know that He made His will the Father's will for us. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And then verse 44, and being in an agony. We're talking about the agony of the cross of Christ. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We can't comprehend that. We can't comprehend what He's going through. As He deals with the fact that He is going to suffer Roman crucifixion, that He is going to be tortured. Yes, we see it in the garden. We also see it on the cross. Do you remember what He said in Matthew 27 and verse 46? And about the ninth hour, that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" That's hard to understand. Why did God forsake Him? It was for you and it was for me. He cried, we're told. Look at His agony. He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 tells us that He was made sin for us. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13 emphasizes that God cannot behold sin. Jesus was forsaken by God because He took our sins upon Himself. He took our sins upon Himself. One thing is for sure. We have no capacity to appreciate the utterly horrific experience of having the sins of the world put upon the Lord Jesus as He hung in excruciating pain from that cross. The physical pain was immense. The spiritual pain must have been even greater. Look at the agony of the cross of Christ. And that was for you. That was for me. We ought to love Him and appreciate Him more. We ought to draw closer to Him. We ought to have the determination every day that we're going to serve Him faithfully unto death. And that we will honor Him in this world and draw others to Him. That brings us to the last thing I want you to know about the cross of Christ. The attitude of the cross of Christ. We are admonished by Paul in Philippians 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." There is the attitude of Christ. And we are to have that same attitude. We are to have that same mind. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2 and verse 5. Now let's look at this mind in verses 7 and 8. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." Look at his humility. Look at him being a servant. "And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." There it is again. And humility always precedes obedience. "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Christ's attitude was one of forgiveness. What did he pray on the cross in Luke 23 and verse 34? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Look at the love in that statement. Look at the forgiveness in that statement. Look at the attitude of the cross of Christ in that statement. Christ's attitude was one of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ's attitude was one of submission. We've already noticed this in verses 7 and 8. But I want to emphasize it further from 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He just submitted to the Father's will. He just put himself in the hands of his Father. He obeyed the Father. And listen to these words from Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience." Christ learned obedience. And as we follow him, we must learn obedience. "Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And that's the kind of people we must be. Yes, Christ's attitude was one of submission. What a great lesson. What I want you to know about the cross of Christ. Have you been touched tonight? Have you been moved? Leave here with greater appreciation for Christ. Leave here tonight closer to Christ. Leave here tonight with the determination that you're going to serve Him all your life. Leave here tonight that you're going to teach others about the cross of Christ, so they can enjoy these wonderful blessings and spend eternity in heaven. Has the cross of Christ changed your life? Why not allow it to do so today? May God bless you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. What a beautiful statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. Death means separation, and so sin separates us from God. We emphasized in our class tonight the reconciliation of the cross of Christ. How that Jesus went to the cross to bring us back to God. to cause us to come from the state of being an enemy to that of a friend. Tonight, has sin caused you to be God's enemy? That's an awful thought, isn't it? To think that we are living a life as an enemy of God. Well, thank God that we can change that. Thank God that Jesus went to the cross so that we can be reconciled to Him. Thank God that Jesus gave us His gospel that we can obey to receive the forgiveness of sins and then serve Him faithfully and hear "well done" at the judgment day. If you're in sin tonight, to become a Christian, you must believe in Christ, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Don't leave here as a child of the devil, God's enemy, instead of a child of God, God's friend. Obey His gospel and be saved. Or if you've allowed the devil to take you away from Christ as a member of the church, there is a second law of pardon. For you to repent and come back confessing your sins and asking your brethren to pray for you, to be restored and to rededicate yourself to Christ, determining that you're going to serve Him faithfully the rest of your life. Just pause for a moment and ask, am I God's enemy or friend? And if you are His enemy, please respond to Him and change that right now as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.